I am excited to be here tonight. For those of you who do not know, I'm preaching right now in Charlottesville, Virginia. And on a good day, we have 30. And I'm very happy to work with such a size work. Actually, had been in Auburn, which was a much larger congregation, and we've made a good transition there. The church is doing well. But I wanted to spend the last days of my work, that the Lord gives me ability, to work in small churches where there are not many, to really learn evangelism and to learn more about how to reach this culture. I've always appreciated Brian about his fervor for evangelism. And you may not know this, but after holding a meeting here about 8 years ago, and Brian going through his training, I urged him to come here. I thought this area has a great opportunity. And so numbers don't mean a thing to me in that sense. I'm glad to study with one person across the kitchen table or a whole big group. You know, we have some things we can share today. When living faith works in individuals, it's powerful. One individual, living faith, can do awesome things. And so thankful to be with you. We could talk a lot about the past, but we want to go ahead and get into the lesson. Been a lot of folks that have been here that have moved somewhere else, which is typically happens. Same thing in Charlottesville. We're going to probably see 70% of our group move in the next 2 years. And so people come and go, and that's part of it. But I want to talk to you about God. This whole series is going to be about God. Sometimes if you looked at some of this material, you think, oh, this is going to be a lesson of what we do in worship. You don't understand where we're going on this. We're going to talk about worship. But really, we're going to talk about God. The essence of eternal life, according to John 17:3, is knowing God. And I want to say, I'm confident for each of us, we're not touching the hem of the garment here. I don't care what your experience is. You're a new Christian, you're an experienced Christian. We need to get the character of God, the presence of God, the understanding of God in our mindset, and there's great power. The point of my lesson tonight is this. And sometimes I'll tell people, I'll tell you my lesson in the first probably 10 minutes. And really, you could probably go home and get the point. But we're going to do a few more minutes to go this. But if you know God, you will pray. That's my thrust tonight. If you really know God, prayer follows. And so that's going to be the thing I want to establish. Let's talk about being a Christian. There's some things that I don't know why. Sometimes we're a little uncomfortable talking about. The Bible talks about a lot. Did you know God dwells in us? The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Do you know we're a temple of the Holy Spirit? And sometimes I'm afraid we get into some highly technical debates that I'm not saying they're without value, but that's not the thrust of these verses. These verses are talking about this as a fact because it changes how we think about everything. Romans 8:9, for instance. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I want to talk to you tonight about life. I want to talk to you about a relationship with God that is so close that He dwells within us. He knows everything about us, and we recognize that. Yvette was with me in going through a study with, we've had an immigrant that came into Charlottesville. Very, very good student. Didn't know a lot about the Bible. She knew me some things. She was from Nigeria. And I'll never forget her talking about the idea, if God dwells in me, I got to get sin out of my life. I got to clean up my house. And I appreciate talking with her about that. Before we baptized her into Christ, we were talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And she didn't get into all the debate of, is this physical indwelling or representative indwelling? And I'm not saying those were without value, but the point being made here, God is in you. The Spirit is in you. You should change your attitude about sin and about God. And here I'm teaching somebody, but I was so impressed with that. That made me appreciate the thrust of these verses. God, God's relationship to me. He knows the very hairs of my head. I am now a Christian. I'm entering into relationship. I must never forget that. You know, when we talk about a relationship with God, that's something that's maybe, again, maybe we're running away from Pentecostalism. I'm going to tell you, have a relationship with God is not, God is not, when He dwells within us, He's not like a magnetic field or a jug of water you pour in something. It's not something that gives us goosey feelings and somehow we think that our will is overpowered. That's not what this is about. This is about us and our mind hearing what God is to us, understanding His will, and recognizing He is with us daily. Relationship. Sometimes people call this relationship a covenant relationship. And again, it's so important that we don't make our relationship with God just outward rules. God has outward rules. Let me suggest, I have a very close relationship with someone here on this earth, and this person happens to be here tonight, and that is my wife. Did you know we had a marriage covenant? But you know what? I've never viewed Yvette as somebody, I got these rules and I'll make a checklist and if I got these rules, but relationship is great. You know what we do? We talk to each other. We listen to each other. We try to study one another. We try, a relationship has rules, but it's not just rules. And I'm so thankful I have that covenant with my wife. She is not perfect. And she will tell you I'm not either. But I'm glad to have a relationship with someone who loves me, who cares for me, actually interested in what happens to me. You see, that's what a relationship with God means. It's not just rules. It's a meaningful relationship. And in that, if you are alive, let me ask you this. What does live people do? They eat, they sleep, they breathe. I want to suggest to you that if you have a living faith, you will pray. And if you're not praying, your faith is nowhere near where it ought to be. Again, I'm not going to try to make prayer some kind of like training log. Like, you know, in running, you know, the more you run, the better shape you get into. The more fast times you can run. You see, I'm into running and I'll keep a log. I'm getting old now, but I'm getting up to 12 miles a week. I used to do 40 a week, but that was when I was younger. And so I don't want you to think of prayer as some workload. I got to pray so many minutes today. I want you to recognize prayer as something that is a part of one who you love. It represents a living faith. It's part of what you do because you're alive and you need it. And if we get that attitude, then that's my thrust tonight. But the problem is, people throughout history have tried to put God in a box. They try to make God something very easy, like a vending machine. I'll put my quarter of prayer in here and my quarter of something else, and I'll press the button. I get my God, and I got my God in a bottle, and I can use him when I want to, and then I'll put the top up and put it in the refrigerator when I'm done with him. That's not what a relationship with God is like. Jesus in Luke 18:1, before he told a very important parable, we read about Luke writing about this. He says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to praise and not lose heart. And by the way, there's a connection in the two. Fervent prayer, you won't lose heart. Then he talked about this persistent widow who came to this unjust judge over and over and over again. And you know the parable. But sometimes I think about the end of the parable and the comment that's made. And it says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Brethren, I'll say you one more time. What is God like to us? Do we think of God? Do we recognize His presence? When I'm talking about recognizing His presence, knowing that He's in me, He's around me, He knows me. And do I want to talk to my God and hear from my God from His Word? Prayer is a natural process of those who are alive spiritually. And brethren, if we stop praying, I'm not here to beat you on the head tonight. I'm not here to give you a guilt trip. I'm just saying, you and I need to rethink God and think about who He is and recognize what He has told about us in His Word. First off, why do I pray? Because I'm pretty stupid if I don't. This life is not certain at all. If you know anything, you know the uncertainty of it. I don't have a whole lot of control in this life. I can control me, but I can't control another person against their will, including my own mate or my own children or something else. I need to understand I'm very limited, but God's not. And what I learn, if I know anything in life, I need help. I need help. I need help in things I don't know I need help in things. And can you imagine this? Have you ever considered the vastness of this universe? You go out at night and you see the stars and you see the universe and you think of the vastness of God. And have you seen some of these new telescopes they put out? We thought this universe was massive and now we find there's these billions of galaxies, these little dots. That's a galaxy somewhere. And we still don't know how big the universe is. The God who created all of that is interested in you and me. It blows my mind. That kind of power. God says, I want to help you. And I want to give you the greatest of my blessings that is within my power to give if you will trust me. And so again, look at some verses. There's so many. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24, declare His glory among all the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. One of the things I've been doing in our evangelism, like I say, I've been trying to relearn evangelism. And we've had some surprising success in just getting people together for Bible readings. And that's one of the things that I've tried to do in working with people now is, what is God like? There are a lot of folks here, they don't have Bible background. There's a lot of things they don't know, and it's fascinating to watch people start reading the Scripture and start putting it together. But the core of what we're doing, the core is teaching people what God is like. And brethren, we need not only what He's like from a factual standpoint, we ought to be able to talk about that with passion. You want to talk about my God? Okay, man, get ready. I'm going to talk your ear off. Are we there? I'm talking about us. Are we there? There, you won't talk about strengthen the church, strengthen evangelism. Here is a message that needs to go out. The stuff that people are following today, the political rhetoric, the political religion that's being pushed on us today, all this other stuff that people push, it's empty. And most people in time realize that it's empty. There are people, we live in the most lonely, angry society in the history of our country, and there are people who want something more. Let's present God to them. In 2 Kings chapter 6, one more time, why do I pray? We did a study a couple of years ago, on angels and demons. It's fascinating as you do that study, if you realize the present things are going on today, there's a parallel spiritual world that has a great impact. And God doesn't give us a lot of details about that. Says, I'm going to win the battle in that world. I'm going to tell you what you need to know in this world. But there are glimpses sometimes that we see that we don't see it in ourselves, but the Scriptures will let us see it, where actually we think there's this particular battle here in the flesh and there's a whole spiritual battle around it. Look at 2 Kings 6 in verse 15. Here a servant of God came out and he saw that the little town was surrounded by a huge army and it's over, we're beat. And Elijah, it's over with. And notice this, look at this, 2 Kings 6, 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And you could almost see the prophet, the army, he goes, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And you can imagine the servant like, well, here you are, and here's this little town. We don't have any soldiers. What are you talking about? We've got more power than they do. Now look at what Elisha does, not Elijah, but Elisha. It says, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray that his eyes may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. Brethren, that's why we pray. God knows what's happening to us. He knows our thoughts. He knows things that we don't know. The awesome power of God and His spiritual realm is totally dedicated to our preservation and prosperity if we'll pray. And there is something that I could say is a tremendous thing of emphasizing the knowledge of God. And when we get that, Romans 8, I can remember as a non-Christian reading Romans 8 for the first time and going numb, thinking, I want that kind of faith. Romans 8:31, what should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to know that to our core. And when we do, we'll pray. We can talk to the God who loves us, the God who knows us, the God who's going to give us wisdom, the God who's going to take care of us. You see, prayer is not a burden, an obligation, a marathon. It's what living things do. And so again, we'll come back to that. You see, we learn the revealed character of God. They're just great, great power. Again, by the way, on these outlines, I don't cover everything on the outlines. I'm going to leave some things for you to look at. But there's some great verses, like in Jeremiah 10, about how you're talking about the idol gods. The idol gods that everybody goes after, guess what? They don't hear, see, they don't do anything. And I love just a simple statement here. And Isaiah does great things, and so does the Psalms. Talk about the idol gods. They don't do anything. He says, are there any among the idols of the nation that can cause rain? I can remember as a little kid, my mother, she had a lot of failings. But my mother had a faith in God. And you know, my mother taught me about her faith in God. I still can remember we would walk to the bus stop because we only had one car in our family back then. We're very thankful to have one car. But my dad would take the car to work and we walked about a mile to a bus stop and went down. I remember a thunderstorm was coming up. I remember being very frightened and holding my mother's hand and praying as a little kid. My mother taught me that. Sometimes I look at verses like this and I think about that, of a mother doing their best to talk about a living God who she recognized. You can instill faith in your children, and it's a critical thing that we do that. And I look to God for help. The danger that we face sometimes is that we think we can fix it all, brethren, and that's a big mistake. I realize God gives us responsibility. We're to have discernment. We are to be wise. And so, yes, there are things we need to do. If we can't pay our bills and we can work, we need to work. And now sometimes if we do that, we still might not pay our bills and then we may need help. But what we're talking about here is we're not talking about doing our best. We're talking about sometimes people becoming proud and they don't pray to God unless it's an emergency. Again, he's almost like that little bottle we put in the refrigerator. Let's take it out. We need a little God right now. It's an emergency. Prayer is what we do in the last ditch thing when we can't do anything else. No, 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 no. That's proud look. Go to God first. And I could just remind you of Psalms 103. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And I'm glad. Brethren, one more time. Let's have a smile on our face. God is for us. I don't deserve it. Why does God put the interest in me that He does? He does. And let me tell you something else about my God. I'm going to tell you, this blows my mind, and we'll get into that this weekend. He wants us to offer our hearts to Him as a gift, and He really wants to hear from us. We are valuable to God. And I sometimes may feel in this world everybody else has cast me aside. I'm a piece of garbage, but not to my God. He so loved the world that while I was still an enemy, He sent His Son to die for me. I don't know why God loves me, but I know He does. And that's the one I cling to for life and I need to talk to. And He wants to hear me. I've actually made a point later in my lesson right now, but all these things go together here. Let's talk about life one more time, brethren. Eternal life. Sometimes we think, okay, that's a thing. I have eternal life. Well, what does that mean? Life. What if something's dead? Eternal life. That means this goes forever. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now notice this. I don't think this is coincidental. Okay, you got eternal life. Now notice the next verse. What do things that have life do? Spiritual life. Prayer. Look at verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Look at that. Eternal life, then prayer. You know, I did something really unusual this afternoon. I ate a meal. Everybody laughs at that. We're going to have more meals. You know why you eat a meal? You're alive. You know, you also breathe air. Do you have to make a decision, I'm going to breathe air? No. You do it because you're alive. You drink water. You see, living things need nourishment. And so as you talk about living things, one of the things that you're going to find in living things is there is a thirst spiritually for God. Look at John 4 and verse 10, the woman at the well. Here you talk about conversion and evangelism. Here's somebody who was lured by this idea of living water. You know, they were at the well. Jesus was thirsty. Wanted the woman to get water for him. And the woman goes, how are you as a Jew speaking to me as a Samaritan? And Jesus changed it to spiritual things in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, not just water, but living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What does that mean? Do I have it? Do you have it? Yes, we do. The indwelling of God, the relationship with God, the idea here of water is purpose, fulfillment, nourishment. And when you become a Christian, God gives you a purpose and a nourishment that's not physical, and you don't have to go elsewhere to get it. He gives you in that relationship, in His Word, in the things that He does. He gives you that purpose. It's within you. Life, nourishment, purpose. Sometimes, brethren, we have lost sight of God. And we've taken the burdens of this world on us and we become miserable. We become short-sighted. And God says, hey, slow down a little bit, guys. You are in heavenly places. You're not here in the gutter. You need to see what I've done for you, I am doing for you, and I will do for you. And I love Peter. There's a lot of things he got wrong. But he recognized what God has given him through His Word, through this relationship. It's not just, again, rules. It involves rules, but it involves communication. It involves purpose. In John 6:68, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. But Jesus said, will you also go away? He goes, I know who you are. This is the living water. This is the living purpose. This is where I'm going to stand. I am not going to leave my God. Now that I know Him and I understand the purpose, I'm not going anywhere. It changes everything. Sometimes I feel like, Brian, sometimes we do lessons. You need to eat. You need to drink. Well, okay, yeah. But maybe we need to know what we need. Living things will find that nourishment that comes from God. John 15, and then we'll go on to the next section. Here, very simple. John 15, 4. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Kind of like indwelling, isn't it? Okay? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now what happens when we abide in Him? I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Now notice, for without me you can do nothing. What's our need? Right now, if you looked in the mirror in your heart of hearts, what's your life? What do you think about your life? What do you think about your purpose? What do you think about your future? Again, I'm not saying the physical challenges and the relationship challenges you have are not serious and they hurt or they encourage you. But I want to say that when we can see God as we ought to see them, we need to understand everything's okay. If God is for us, who could be against us? I've got purpose, and God can take my faith, what it is, and make it into something and make me a power for His cause. And notice in this, when He talks about this, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Notice prayer again. Indwelling, life, prayer. Just as natural thing that you could talk about. We need to be obsessed with God. Our God gives good gifts, Matthew 7:7. You know, fathers love to give gifts to their children. God says, look, you think you know how to good gifts? The gifts that God gives are perfect gifts. In verse 11, if you then, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. You know, one way to develop yourself in prayer, and I'll develop this as we go along. When we talk about singing, singing is a form of prayer. I'm preaching tomorrow morning's lesson. Singing has similarities to prayer. But the more thankful you can be, the better you'll see this life. The more thankful you can be, you can see God's hand in your past, and you can understand the confidence you can have in your future as we focus in on God and His blessings. I love to give. I love to give to my children. I've got some grandchildren we like to give to. Listen one more time. God loves to give. I almost could say this, God needs to give. You're talking about need with God, but understanding the nature of God's love, God truly loves to give. And when I understand that, that's kind of what I'm going to go to. Now, He's going to give us what we need. And so there's other verses. Ephesians 3:19 talks about, you know, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at that last statement. The more I know of His character, the more I'm filled with God. And you know what happens? I'm changed by that. This is the essence of worship. All aspects of worship. It will change us. It'll change how we think. It will change how we act. It will change how we speak. Worship, when we get it, it's a blessing. It is something that is transforming. Now notice, we get filled with the fullness of God. And now notice, He talks about asking in prayer. And you know, God not only can bless us, but bless us beyond what we abundantly can ask or think. Our God loves to give. And God will bless us. You know, sometimes, let me tell you some things. If you're really feeling down, sometimes go outside at night on a clear night and see the creation. Have you done that? And say, look at the God that loves me. There are times I remember Yvette and I on our honeymoon, we went in one of our honeymoons. I can't remember if it was the first or second that we did. We went to the Grand Canyon. And we drove a long time to get there at night, and in the morning we had to leave, but we went in the morning just to see the Grand Canyon. And the first thing that I wanted to think of, and I think Yvette thought the same thing, we just wanted to sing a song of how great thou art. At times, look at the creation and say, God, I don't know why, but you have my interest totally in your mind. And thank you. Help me to get my eyes off of the earth and more often onto God. It'll change me. Prayer is not just something we do out of an obligation. It's something we do to get our mind right. And it'll bless us. The love of God will change us. Now, let's go talk about a few things about prayer. You know why you pray? God wants to help us, but He's not going to help us unless we do. You know, one of the big problems we have. Now, I'll tell you my problem, okay? And I think it'll be yours too. I could be wrong. You can tell me if I get it wrong. You know, one of the things that gives us misery sometimes is we want to change things we cannot change. Some disaster of the past. Oh, I wish I could go back in the past and change it. You can't do it. Somebody has rejected us and thrown us away that's very dear to us. Oh, I wish I can change that person's mind. You know what? You can't change the past. You can't change another person against their will. You can't change what is right. Right is wrong. You can't change the weather. And oftentimes, we as stubborn people will grab hold of something and we're determined to change something when God says, hey, Larry, this is not your task. And I'm pretty stupid sometimes. I'll grab a hold of something and make myself miserable when it was never, ever in my power to make a difference. You know what happens when I pray? Listen to Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what the yoke is here? The yoke is the things that we take on and do. God says there's some things I want you to do. You might not change another person against their will, but you can show kindness to them. You might not be able to figure out what the weather's going to be, but you can go ahead and find people you can serve and others that you can do within the scope of God's will. There are things that have happened in the past. God says, let it go. I'll take you right now and take you where you're at and what you have, and I can make your life an abundant life. But it's all within our ears. Sometimes if we know a living God is a living God, we can do this. But sometimes I'm afraid we're afraid to trust God. We tend to overthink things. We tend to go after things we cannot change, and we put ourselves in our self-imposed prison of fear and anxiety. God says, let it go. Give to God the things you cannot change. Then take on those things that God has said you can do, and you can do it. Impossible burdens are given to God in prayer. You know what happens when we stop asking? We're starting to, you know, tell you what, there have been times in my life, not many times at all, where I didn't eat much, that I was sick. If Larry's not eating, something's wrong, okay? Sometimes there's spiritual sickness and we're not praying and we're not reading. And you know what? We need to fix that. That's a spiritual sign of life is ebbing from us. In James 4:2, it says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Now listen to this. And you do not have because you do not ask. I sent my son to die for you. I've given you my word. My providential hand has taken care of you in ways you don't even understand. And now you're sitting there stewing, looking at yourself, just frustrating yourself over the things that you ought to be giving to me. Hey, God said, I'm right here. Ask. Verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's another lesson we'll talk about. And so again, trusting God. Giving it to Him, not in doubt asking, as James 1, and trying to take it back from God, but trusting God for what He says He'll do. One more thing. This is really big, brethren. I'm big on this one. This helps me a lot. If you're down to the dumps, if you're getting paralyzed by fear, take some time and focus completely upon the great things about God. About His character and about His nature and about what He has done for you and me. You know one thing that prayer ought to be, and it ought to be a big element of, and when we pray, our prayer ought to be an element. So I'm not going to do a whole series on prayer here, but we could. But being thankful to God, if you'll just focus on a prayer to God and just thank Him, it changes your attitude. Our hearts, the reason why we pray to God, is overflowing with thank you when we are able to see what's real. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:13, while through the proof of their ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with all men and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I'm thankful for my brethren. I'm thankful for things that are brought in my life. And I'm thankful to God. Be thankful. When you are thankful, you will pray. Because you're seeing the unseen and you're getting your eyes off yourself. It changes everything. Many of you may still have your parents alive, and I'm thankful you do. My parents passed away in 92. Yvette's parents passed away later. And you know, I sometimes in raising children and then seeing our children grow up and going through their challenges and then grandchildren, you know, there are times I think back to my parents and I said, if I wished I could speak to them one more time, I would say thank you. While my parents did a lot, think about what God is doing and is doing for you. We should be the most thankful people on earth. One of the worries I have sometimes is that people sometimes are raised in the church, and some people have joked about this. They seem to be raised on a dill pickle. They've always got a little snarl, and you know, they think about the bad things, maybe like the Eeyores, you know. Oh, all these bad. And can I say something, brethren? There ought to be a message in each of us if we have a living faith. If we begin to talk about the nature of God, this is going to be something that we should talk about a lot and have a lot to say. In Psalm 71, verse 18, listen to this. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. And now notice, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? We should be filled with that story. Exciting to tell that story. What if God gave us this commission? Are you ready for this? There was a man who had been dwelt in by maybe 1,000 demons, a legion of demons. And he wanted to go back with Jesus, and the community there were scared to death of him. And Jesus didn't let him go in the boat with him, but has sent him back to this community with this commission. Can this be our commission? However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you. Wow. Could you do that? Could I do that? If our eyes had been where they ought to, this should be a joyful experience. I want to tell you about my God. And you know what happened the next time Jesus came to this area? They all said, get away from us. Get away from us. And you know when he came back? They just kind of cried and came to him. This man was able, by telling that simple story. People who do that will pray. Have you ever known a truly thankful person to fall away? Let me ask you, I haven't. You see how the power of God can work in us? And one more thing. We live in a lonely generation. I hate it when there are those that struggle with having relationships. We work with a lot in our evangelism of people who are lonely. And oftentimes people get this idea, nobody wants to hear from me. Nobody really wants to know what's going on in my life. I know how that feels. But listen to this. Are you ready for this? Our God wants to hear every thought on our heart. Our God says, please talk to me. I'll talk to you. Nobody else wants to listen to you. I want to listen to you. Think about that. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Loneliness is a tough thing. Sometimes we can get down, and sometimes we unjustly judge others in our loneliness. And a lot of people, I just want somebody to share my life with. I want somebody to share my thoughts with, and God says, I'm right here. And my thoughts may be trivial, silly, crazy, but you know what? God says, bring them on. Let all your thoughts be known to me, because I care for you. Oh, my brethren, to see that. God does care. God delights when we are sharing our thoughts with Him. And this is how I find genuine peace. That's how I can understand whatever this world brings. It's not going to matter if I have that peace with God. A couple of verses and then we'll go on to our last section. John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I love John 16. In verse 31, it says, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, it has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is the core of my lesson. My last section, I'm going to give you a few seeds very briefly, and then the lesson's going to be yours. But I think we've made the point of why we need to pray. Satan wants to deaden our hearts. God wants to give us peace. And the other thing that I would say, again, this is another lesson, I'm just going to touch on it. I need wisdom. You know, brethren, we make messes a lot, don't we? Have you had a mess made and you analyze it? I did this wrong. I did this wrong. I wished I knew this ahead of time. You raise children. You ought to be humbled, raise children. Like, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. You know, I remember when we brought Stephen home from the hospital for the first time, Yvette and I looked at one another like, what do we do now? And by the way, you'll often feel that way as parents. What do I do now? You know what God says? Ask me for wisdom and I'll give it to you. I do need wisdom. You know, God wants us to understand that. James 1, I don't have that verse. But look at 1 John 4:16. Let's talk about assurance. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If I want to gain wisdom, the first thing I need to understand is God's unconditional love for me. And if I can gain the wisdom, I want to love as he loved. I get out of myself into God. It helps me in every relationship that I have. You begin to doubt your relationship with God. You go back. This is what God is like. God is not going to forsake me. As I walk within His pathway, within His conditional promise of forgiveness, He's not going to throw me away. And we've already looked at Ephesians 3. We looked at that earlier, and the power of God that is found in that. 1 John 3:19. And by this we know that we're of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. And if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. There's nothing wrong with having a doubt. We're going to talk about that in the last lesson on Monday night, and how we handle doubt. I'm going to give you James 1:5, and then we're going to end the lesson there, and I'll just note those things. James 1:5, just again, and this is a whole other lesson for this. I won't do this tonight. James 1:5, how do I live? What do I need to do at job? How do I handle my children? How do I handle myself? How do I handle my future job possibilities? How do I handle evangelism? How do I handle my mate? Brethren, we need help. And here's what God says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now notice, he doesn't just give us, okay, yeah, I'll give you enough, get by. No, no. He doesn't just give us a little bit. But who gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, why are you asking? Well, you're always here asking. God says, I'd love for you to ask. I'm not going to look down on you asking. And it will be given to him. And you can look at the list on that line. We'll stop the lesson here. But it's very powerful when we understand who God is. So, tomorrow, we're going to talk about why we sing and why we give. I'll have to admit to you, in preparing this material, it has changed me. The more I understand what my God is like, I find that I'm like God. Even non-Christians, people in the world, we're all created in the image of God. And the more you begin to get into this, you begin to see, you know, again, I'm going to give you the thrust of my lesson, the second lesson tomorrow. You know about giving? You know why we give? Because we're creating the image of God. God loves to give. Guess what? You want to find purpose in life? You give. You find fulfillment in that. Isn't that true? It's very interesting as we go back to the core of God and how we're created. we find some profound answers to why we pray, why we sing, why we give. So I want to continue that tomorrow, and I think we'll have some new material. But it goes back to knowing God. I was telling Bryant that, you know, we're reaching a lot of people that have very little background. And I've been trying to do lessons to introduce these new people to God. I find that is a great need in evangelism. Sometimes we've been used to doing evangelism, and we'll tell them the rules of God, you know. And I think in the past when people had a background with knowing who God is, yeah, that's, but we got to start on a much more basic level, and I think we need to start on a much more basic level teaching Christians as well. A firm knowledge of God changes everything. Invitation song, as I think you've got your books marked. To an audience like this, I trust you know what God has asked. And oftentimes in an invitation, I suggest the invitation is not just for the non-Christian, but it's for each of us. Let this be a time where we think about what's the next step. Maybe it may be as a time for us tonight to thinking, you know what, I'm going to learn more about God. I'm going to think more about God. I'm going to let these thoughts become central to me. And if that's the case, then, brethren, that's a great resolution. If you've never become a Christian, we'd love to encourage you. As Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. We'd like to assist you in any way as your need may be as we stand and sing.